The Overcome Today podcast aims to encourage, inspire, and empower through real-life stories. My prayer is that when you listen to each episode, you're pointed to Jesus, who loves you with an everlasting love. Remember, your story has power, and when you share it, it can help someone know that they're not doing life alone. But most of all, that navigating life without Christ is pointless. Hello, Overcomers. Welcome to episode 106 and the second of a four-part series, Against the Culture. Now, funny story before I get into what we discussed last week. I had recorded this, done batch recordings of this series around 2 weeks ago. Funny story, as I was editing this one and the others that I batch recorded, except for the first part of this series, let's just say I happened to press mute on my mic. I know. So I just started with a 1-2 mic check, 1-2. After that, it was silent. Let me tell you, the agony. Oh, Lord, this is why we need headphones. And this is why headphones are important in podcast production. Anywho, we are here, better late than never. So in the last episode, that's episode 105, I talked about self-love and what the Word of God says about it. And thank you so much for all your feedback on it, both positive and negative. It's been really good having these conversations with you, so thank you. Now, the overarching scripture that is a basis of this series is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. And I'll read it in the Amplified Version, which I love so much. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. I will say this again. This series is not easy to digest. It's not the, oh my God, I feel so encouraged type of topic. Some of you may hate me after this. However, I want us to focus on the Word of God and what God is really trying to convict us with. I struggle with some of these trends, like these messages are also for me. And so my prayer is that we will reflect on His Word, we will go to Him in repentance and ask the Holy Spirit for help to live a fruitful and righteous life in Christ. Cindy, amen? Amen to that. So this week, we'll look at another trend, what I call, quote, I can do whatever I want. It's my life. YOLO. Like, hello, I can be a Christian and still do whatever I please. See, there's grace. Like, everyone has their own relationship with God, but I have freedom in Christ. So what's the problem? Now, we're going to look at some specific examples. Dressing and cursing. Yep. Tough one. So, Lord Jesus, help me, man. We're going to look at those trends today and what keeps us in this sin or in sin. And finally, what God is calling us to. So what is the trend today? Now, there's a lot to say when it comes to doing what you want as a Christian, but I'm going to focus on a few trends that have provided somewhat, I think I call a gray area when it comes to knowing who is a believer and who isn't. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you can know a Christian by how they look. You know, you can't really tell. It's their fruit. It's their actions that tell us if they are a believer or not. And we see this in James chapter 2, verse 17. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. And in the same book, James chapter 2, verse 26, and just as the body is dead without breath, so also is faith without good works. So what are we seeing today? Now, fashion is taking precedence. Like, we are following the trends and styles of today. Unfortunately, we are following them without thinking if it pleases God or not. We have seen, like, literally styles being recycled. Like, what was in the 60s and 70s is, you know, being hip today and tomorrow it's not. And I don't know if you're like me, but growing up, my mother, who was a very staunch churchgoer and very strict Christian, would not allow us, my sister and I, to go to church with jeans or short or tight dresses. Yeah. Of course, at the time, we didn't understand the big deal. And many would say, like, hello, that's so old school. But looking back, I see that she really wanted us to be presentable in the house of God. The funny thing is, this did not only apply to church. Like, the standard applied every single day with my mom. Now, the church I grew up in had really strict rules about dressing, especially while standing on the pulpit. You know, if you're in the audience, yeah, whatever, in the congregation rather, sorry. And so their rules were, if you're a lady, and I'll speak to the ladies because I am a lady. If you're a lady, you should wear a skirt that's below the knee or near your ankles. No crop tops, no sheer materials. And if you did not comply, you simply do not serve on the pulpit. Now, those days, and I'll say this in Swahili terms because that's the best way to put it if you're from Kenya. Those days, you could clearly define mtuenda church and mtua club, as we used to say. But today, things are different. Like, the church is moving with the times. We're seeing pastors in muscle shirts and tight jeans. We're seeing women in bodycon dresses leading worship. Like, it's not a big deal, right? Plus, who made you the Christian fashion police? Like, how tight is too tight? How short is too short? How much skin is too much skin? See, God doesn't really care about what I wear. He cares about my heart, right? I'll get to that in a moment. Now, another trend today also that we're seeing today is Christians who curse. Now, I'm not talking about which Dr. Manenos for, you know, Shidwes and all that. I'm talking about the nasty words, the vulgarity that comes out of our mouths. It could be the F-bombs and the S-bombs. The vulgarity when describing people or situations. It's not a big deal to curse as a Christian, you know? Once again, God looks at my heart. Like, I'm just expressing myself. Excuse me, I'm angry. And that's how everyone does it these days. Now, these are just some of the I can do whatever I want trends that we see today. And the line is so thin and so gray that we cannot seem to sift who is a believer and who isn't. But why do we do these things? And what does salvation mean? Let me just give a bit of context before we get into, you know, those trends. Now, I think we just need to understand that we are sinful by nature. And this all began with the fall. And that's why we struggle with sin, even though we are believers. And Paul says it really well in the book of Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. Now, this scripture is usually a tongue twister. So please bear with me. I would really urge you to go back and keep, you know, looking at it and trying to understand it and look at commentaries, all that thing. So this is Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is not longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. I hope you're able to catch that. Now, when you're saved by grace, these are pertinent questions you ask yourself. But you cannot say you're a Christian and live life the way you want to live. That is not what being a Christian is, or rather a disciple of Christ. That's just somebody who says they are a Christian, but in reality, they are not. We are saved by our faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot earn our own salvation. And the Bible teaches us this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. We are saved by faith. But our faith has to be something that other people can see. We cannot have faith if we do not have any good works to show that we have faith. And Jesus said this in his words in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Now, before we get into what the Bible says about the trends I mentioned earlier, although some of the scriptures I've kind of hinted to it, right? I want to touch on what freedom in Christ means. I mentioned earlier that there's some people who claim to have freedom to do what they please because they believe they have been set free by Christ. And that's fine. You know, the word even says whoever is free has been set free, is free indeed by Christ. So what does freedom in Christ mean? Now, when Jesus revealed himself as the Messiah, he said that he had come to earth to proclaim freedom. And we see this in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And on another occasion, he said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's in John chapter 8, verses 36. Now, Jesus was not setting us free to do whatever we wanted. He was freeing us to do what we ought to do. He was liberating us to walk in relationship with God and to be the kind of people he created us to be. Jim Daly, who's the president of Focus on the Family, says this, and I quote, "This spiritual freedom in Christ is what I call inside freedom, the ability to obey God and choose his will for our lives. And this is a freedom in Christ that sin had long denied us," end of quote. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12, and I'll read it in the NIV. "I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything." And in some versions, it says everything is permissible, but not beneficial. So Paul reminds his readers that when he speaks of Christian freedom, it is always in relation to freedom from earning salvation by good deeds. Grace is unmerited and by definition cannot be earned. The Christian is free from the burden of attempting to earn salvation. But the Corinthians had perverted Paul's message of freedom to justify sinful lifestyles. Grace is not license to sin. The believer should not live as if everything is permissible. Beyond the book of Corinthians, Paul makes it clear that freedom in Christ does not equate to freedom in sin. And we see this in Romans chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 15. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? May it never be. Galatians chapter 5 verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Paul summarizes it well in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now let's go back to the trends. What does the Bible say about it? And I'll start with dressing. Now, this is a very touchy topic because as I said earlier, or rather as I asked, who is the modesty police? Like who is the Christian fashion police? A controversial scripture is 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 9 to 10. Women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Hides under the table. Now, too often, modesty is presented as adherence to a legalistic set of rules. However, modesty has a lot more to do with the condition of our hearts than with the specifics of our wardrobes. What's more is modesty is not just applicable to women or women's clothing. It's also a trait that the Bible promotes for men. Now let's look at the context. In this scripture, we see some of the wealthy women in the church in Ephesus were dressing really inappropriately. Now, the clothing was opulent, their jewelry was excessive, and their hairstyles extravagant. Like, those women were going all out, you know? And in this scripture, Paul encourages these primed women to dress in a way that is in keeping with their Christian character. And he uses three Greek words to help them understand what godly dress involves. Their choice of clothing was to be kosmios, eidos, and sophrosune. I hope I've said that right. Please, theologians, do not come for me. I do not know whether I've said it right. So kosmios is respectable, eidos, modest, sophrosune, self-controlled. Now, these three terms are closely related and their meanings are rich and overlap. They definitely give women some valuable insight about what and what not to wear, but they have a far broader application than that. Now, just a few verses after instructing women to dress in a way that is respectable and self-controlled, Paul instructs the overseers, who at that time were mostly men, to be respectable and self-controlled. And the overseers were what you would call the pastors of today. We see this in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Respectable behavior and self-control are traits that should be displayed by all who love Christ. Romans chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verses 21 to 23, and this is about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, when Paul told the women in Ephesus that their clothing ought to be modest, he wasn't applying an isolated standard to women or women's clothing. He was really pointing out that a woman's faith ought to influence her wardrobe choice as much as it influences the rest of her behavior. Her clothing should be respectable and modest, demonstrating self-control, because that's the common standard for all Christian conduct. Please note, this is a standard that applies to men too. I'll give you a personal testimony. For me, I was those people for, you know, does God really care about what I wear? And so I would dress however I felt like, you know. And so I remember listening to the Bloom podcast by Zim Flores. She no longer produces it, but there's an episode on that podcast where she talks about dressing. And actually the title is, Does God Really Care About What I Wear? And that, you know, implored me to click on it and listen. And I think that's where the conviction began. I first listened to the episode. I listened to it again. And slowly by slowly, I started to ask God, God, are you really impressed by what I wear? Like, is my dressing really reflective of you? And the Holy Spirit started to convict me slowly by slowly about my dressing. And so with time, I started to change my dressing. I no longer wore short dresses. Even to this day, like if I wear a short dress, I feel like a bit weird. And I'm not saying that short dresses are bad. Like, hello, please note, this is something that I'm explaining that the Lord was convicting me. You know, low necklines, tight trousers, all the shebang. And I'm still a work in progress. I don't think I have arrived, quote unquote, but I have made progress. I have seen a difference in how I dress. And it's all because I asked God to change my perception and my... You know, I wanted to be able to model who he wanted me to be in terms of my character and also my dressing. So I encourage you to just sit down and ask God, God, does my dressing, bring glory to you? Does it glorify you? And trust me, he will answer that question and you'll see your heart slowly being transformed. Now, this is a topic that needs a totally separate episode to get into the details, but I don't want to emphasize that there's I want to emphasize that there's something God will do in your heart that will transform your mind in all aspects, including how you walk, how you talk, and how you dress. Speaking of how you talk, let's look at cursing. Now, Ephesians 4:29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Our words have the power of life and death, as stated in Proverbs 18:21. And as believers, we are representing Jesus daily. It won't change overnight, trust me. You'll slip most times. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, our talk can be transformed. So what is God calling us to in all this? Now, as a believer, when you receive the Holy Spirit, your wants are changed. But they're not always changed overnight. As you grow and mature in the faith, you find yourself desiring the ways of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. So how do we find freedom from the penalty and power of sin? That comes through accepting Jesus Christ's death on the cross as a payment for our sin. As we submit to Christ, sin loses its power. Christ's power takes over. As we choose to trust and follow Him, our sinful habits, thoughts, and attitudes lose their control. Guilt disappears, and peace of mind dominates. Right habits become the norm. That is freedom in Christ, true freedom. Jesus said that we must produce good fruit as Christians. We must have good deeds and good acts. We must have good behavior and show acts of love and kindness to everyone. We cannot say we believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and do whatever we want. We need to be transformed, and that can only happen by His power. Did you like this episode and feel inspired to share your story? If you'd like to get featured on the podcast, fill in the Google form in the show notes below and I'll contact you. You can also follow me on social media at OvercomeToday and send a DM or email me overcometodaypodcast@gmail.com. That's it for this week, folks. Please do share this episode with our friend so that they can be convicted, encouraged, inspired, empowered. For those who perhaps feel like they're doing the right thing and they wonder if they are doing the right thing, you know, share this with them. And until next week, bless. Thank you for listening to the Overcome Today podcast. Want to support the podcast? Leave a review or a rating on whatever platform you're listening to this on. Also, I'd love to hear from you. If you're on Instagram, let me know what your favorite part of the show was by taking a screenshot of the episode you've tuned into and share it on your story. Tag me at Overcome Today and let me know what your takeaway from today's show was. Remember, you are more than a conqueror through Him who loved you.